I think some people speculate, based on how you guys handled the game today and played to win, that there was some conversation had with ownership prior to the game. Did they at any point this week tell you how they wanted you to handle this one?
Not at all. This goes back to, look, anytime we step foot on the field, we want to win.
Going off of Phil's question, did you have any conversation with the front office about the approach?
No, I'm the head coach of the football team, and anytime we step foot on the field, we want to win.
Straw Mayo yesterday, following the Patriots win, feels like a loss, 23-16. I do love that. It's like, did you talk to ownership?
No.
Did you talk to the GM, front office, anybody?
No.
Nah, they don't talk to me. I'm fired anyways. They didn't give me any direction on this game, which, by the way, I don't believe. I don't believe that they didn't tell him what to do. You put in Joe Milton on the second drive on your own? You did that on your own? No one told you to do that?
You came up with that? You hadn't played the guy all year long? Hadn't played the guy all year? All of a sudden, he starts getting snaps of practice and then he plays?
So that was an organizational discussion. I don't believe what he had to say.
But I don't blame Mayo for all the things to blame Mayo for. Winning the game isn't one of them. Again, he's right. Players and coaches on the field are going to try to win.
Fair.
That's what they're there for. They don't care about next year's team. They might not even be on next year's team. In Gerard Mayo's case, he is not. But Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft need to somehow make it known and make it like you need to lose the game. I was like, you can't do that. Look around the league. Look on across the field. The Bills are like, we won't give you the number one pick.
It was a bad day for the NFL.
Yeah, it was gross.
But specifically, Patriots and Bills was embarrassing.
But like the
Bills
Browns,
were passing on field goals to get their punter an incentive. They were playing their third string quarterback. They put in Josh Allen for a snap. Meanwhile, the Patriots didn't play Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe that one was for the best.
That's probably fine.
Drake May played a series.
But like the Chiefs just laid down and died. And then, you know, there were other teams. The teams at the top of the draft, like the Titans and the Giants, they knew what they needed to do.
Giants screwed it up the week before, but yes.
They did, but this week.
Yes.
That's the other thing. I think when you're talking about multiple weeks, then you're really getting kind of silly. And that's sort of a pipe dream type of thing. But when it's one game, like, can you lose this game and we get the number one pick in the draft, which coming around in a couple of months from now will be the best commodity in football. The number one, the people go crazy for the number one pick. You could have that if you lose this meaningful game. However, if you win, you get the fourth pick, because everybody's making the Lovie Smith comparison and how they actually ended up falling ass backwards into CJ Stroud over Bryce Young. But they went from 1-2, which at the time was definitely annoying and like comical from the outside. But 1-2, when there were two quarterbacks versus 1-4, and like what you could get for the fourth pick versus the first pick, this is much worse.
Patriots are lucky, by the way, they couldn't fall farther than four.
Seriously, when you're looking at the graphic of all the bad teams, and like we already knew going into the weekend that they couldn't fall further than four. But if you didn't know that and you were just looking at the bottom of the standings, you're like, they could be ninth. Like, there's so many four-win teams in the league. It's crazy.
So, the Jets, Carolina, New Orleans, Chicago, a bunch of those teams won yesterday. They all moved to five wins, but they all could have been four-win teams.
Yeah, at the time, right.
So, right, the Patriots were lucky they couldn't fall farther than fourth.
Oh, and so that could have been sixth,
that comes down to a strength of schedule thing. Yeah, that's all that is.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a reminder, Robert Kraft, who apparently Gerard Mayo did not talk to about their approach yesterday in their win, doesn't feel that way, over Buffalo. Robert Kraft is going to speak to the media live from Gillette Stadium today. You're going to hear it here on WEEI at 1 o'clock. Lock that in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll play it for you. We'll react to it live. We'll give you all our thoughts on it. You can react to it as well at 617-779-7937. We'll rip through your phone calls in a moment. But while we're talking about the number four pick, I think everyone agreed, just about. You want the number one pick. You get the number one pick. You trade down for a king's ransom.
Yes.
Now you can't do that. What do you do at four? Do you stick and pick? Do you try to move up for a player you like? Do you try to still move down and get as many assets as you can? What's the right move at four?
I think you can see what you can get in a trade down, but then you're talking, how far down are you trading? Are you getting another first round? Like, where are you going from there? I think you have to at least explore that option. Maybe a team surprises you and it's like, we desperately need player X at four. But if not, I'll take Travis Hunter. I like Travis Hunter. I want to try to play the guy both ways. I think he can be a legit number two wide receiver and maybe number two corner. And maybe with upside to grow on both of those. Star player, I think you still need to be aggressive in free agency and get another receiver who's better than him. But I'd be happy with Travis Hunter. I'm annoyed about how this process played out. And you should have been able to get Travis Hunter with a future pick and with like another player or whatever. But in this case, I'll take Hunter and be happy with it.
Okay. I would move down still.
How far down, though?
Look, I like Luther Burden. So I want a wide receiver in the draft. I don't love these tackles, Banks and Campbell from Texas and LSU. I don't really want a defensive player. Maybe that's stupid by me. Maybe the more we go through the process, the more I'll fall in love with Abdul Carter or who's the, is it Graham, the corner at Michigan?
Like Mason Graham's a defensive lineman. Johnson's the corner.
I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking of. So yeah. Johnson is the player I'm thinking of. Yeah. I do like Travis Hunter. Like, I think if they're going to pick at four, I hope he's there. He might not be.
No, that's true.
I don't love Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, but I like the versatility, and I think having him and Gonzalez as corners is awesome.
Yeah.
But I think I would move down, is my official answer. It's not great. I'm not typically a trade-down guy, but I do acknowledge this team needs a lot. You have the quarterback, so get him a lot. One more item before we get to the phones. This is another update from Phil Perry. This is published in the last 5 minutes.
All right.
He goes through all the people who are still here. He said, despite any reports out there, Ben Volen,
mm-hmm.
Van Pelt, Covington, Wolf, they all remain employees of the New England Patriots. It's only Jerod Mayo. Okay, according to everybody but Ben Volen, Van Pelt's still here. Think of that what you will. I think Van Pelt is ultimately going to lose his job. He says...
Yeah, it might be a timing issue here, but as of right now, he's still...
He says it's not to say that those roles are guaranteed, meaning for Covington and AVP. He says on the front office side, the process could end up being a little more hazy.
Hmm.
He points to the current tweet we've read a couple of times, anticipate the personnel department getting more time to right the ship and fix the roster. He says, the Patriots, I hate this. This is so stupid. It's stupid enough to keep Wolf, but I hate the logic and why you got to keep him. The Patriots brought in a new system last January.
Oh, I remember hearing about this system.
With Elliot Wolf taking the lead role and serving as director of scouting under Bill Belichick. That system was obviously heavily influenced by Wolf's time in Green Bay and later the Packers-inspired front office in Cleveland. And featured a different way of grading players than the way Bill operated for two decades as New England's football boss.
Have systems in place, and we will have systems in place.
It sounds like it's the same for drafting receivers, quite honestly. It's
spot on.
You changed your whole system, but you're just as bad at drafting receivers.
They might have outdone themselves. Polk and Baker might be worse than any of the other guys.
It might be worse, although you got to update that Ladd McConkey graphic.
Yeah.
Because Baker did get a catch yesterday.
Oh, good point.
So that tightened up a little bit.
Baker got a grab.
Is there reluctance from Robert Kraft to part with Wolf's system? His system blows. Why would you be reluctant to do that?
Move on.
He may encourage the next head coach to work with Wolf, but Kraft also would have to understand how arranged marriages between coaches and front office heads usually work out or don't in the NFL, and that may leave open the possibility of significant change on the personnel side of things. So that's scary. No. You're keeping Wolf because he just put in his system, and it sounds like this is Elliot Wolf's defense. Number one, we had a lot of holes, and we didn't get any development from the coaching staff, which is what he told Henry McKenna. Number two, I have a whole new drafting system, a whole new scouting system, and you're giving it 1 year?
You want to get faster? You better get fast, guys.
That's Matt Groh. We just put everything into place, and now you want me to blow it out? So this is how Wolf is trying to persuade Kraft, would be my reading between the
lines. Well, I do think just the nature of the job, you're more likely to give your personnel guy more time than your coach. We were talking last week about, you know, how many one-and-done coaches versus one-and-done GMs. Like, that seems like a real... I mean, how many guys could you even think of that had that position for a season?
Here's another interesting detail. Not many, if any. Here's another interesting detail from Phil. He said, Chiefs assistant GM Mike Borgonzi, who we've mentioned a couple of different times. He's from Everett, if you haven't heard. He overlapped with Vrabel in Kansas City and might fit the bill as he worked previously under Chiefs GM and longtime Packers exec John Dorsey.
Okay.
John Dorsey, I think, where was he last year? I don't recall, but it says he was in Green Bay, so that means maybe there's scouting similarities or similar language that Wolf would have because he was in Green Bay. I thought he was in Cleveland as well.
Detroit. Yeah, okay. He's been in Detroit since 21.
Dorsey.
John Dorsey.
But I'm just saying, so what's his background? Is his background Cleveland? It was Green Bay, I guess.
Green Bay.
And so maybe there's some overlap there. Borgonzi
and
would
Kansas
have
City.
Would have some overlap.
Is that
with,
what he said?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in all those places.
He would have some overlap with the way that Wolf would do things. Say it again.
And the Eagles. He was a consultant for the front office in 2020.
Browns general manager?
But
oh,
not,
was that with Elliot Wolf, actually?
That's what I'm saying. So I think they're not talking about hiring Dorsey, but Borgonzi worked under Dorsey, so maybe there's similarities with Elliot Wolf.
It's a tangled web.
But that's all. Maybe there's a way to middle it, is another note that Phil Perry had. I would not keep Elliot Wolf here under any circumstances, but especially because of his dumb system. You guys can jump in. 617-779-7937.
His system, like, throw it out. They had a draft last year where they took a bunch of players. The only one that hit was available any draft guide, any website you went to that had people's mock draft. If you went to the Chris Scheim mock draft, WEEI.com, Drake May, I think it was his first pick.
Yep.
You would have taken him. After that, every pick they took missed. So I don't think you need to be married to that new draft system.
No, I look. I think the Crafts forced him to stay and pick a quarterback. That's what I think.
So maybe he didn't even pick him. You're right.
So,
who knows?
So that's why I give him no credit. But somebody deserves credit for sticking there because I think Bill would have traded down. I think a lot of people could have traded down. I mean, hell, there were people who said trade back and take J.J. McCarthy and things like this. So I think the Crafts forced him to stay, which is why I give him no credit. But that also tells you the Crafts meddle in a lot of this stuff. We're getting texts, by the way. We have mentioned it. It's been a while since we mentioned it. Per Burt Breer, the Patriots have requested an interview with Ben Johnson.
I like the sound of that. Yes, I
like it. I feel like it's probably just an exercise that they got to go through, but at least they're doing it, unlike last year. It still sounds like Vrabel is the heavy favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Nick and Woonsocket brings up another name. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Or does he? Hello, Nick?
No, maybe not.
Okay, let's put Nick back on
gun hold.
He's been on hold for a while. He wants Brian Flores.
I guess it depends on what side you're on. Not Flores versus the Dolphins or Flores versus the league. That's sort of a separate thing, which I would take Flores' side on.
Me too.
But Flores with the young quarterback, and then that's another guy where, like, the whole thing with Tua. Tua hates him. And you saw how much better Tua got with Mike McDaniel than when he had Brian Flores there. Flores got a good defense going. Well, not necessarily last night, but overall, got a good defense going. I think he could someday be a good head coach. Who's his offensive guy? Like, it comes back down to that. Like,
I don't want Flores for the same reason I don't really want Vrabel. I look at them the same.
Give me offensive guys.
Well, and I don't want anybody with ties here. Like, could you?
Oh, there's also that.
Could you think outside your orbit just a little bit and be a touch creative with the hire instead of, oh, those guys used to work here, let's hire them?
But those two guys, Vrabel and Flores, at least have other NFL team experiences.
They do.
Whereas Mayo didn't. Not only was Mayo a Belichick guy, he literally didn't know what the life was like in the league with anybody else.
So I want an offensive guy. Ben Johnson, home run, no-brainer. Yeah. I also like Liam Cohen in Tampa. Let's say they hire a defensive guy. Let's live in that world. Glenn, Vrabel, or Flores?
Vrabel.
I would want Glenn.
Whoa. I would. Oh, just because you want somebody that's not here.
Just somebody who's not here. He doesn't have experience. Flores and Vrabel both do, so that's not a check mark in his favor, but he's coming from a good organization.
Yeah.
And he's not a Patriots guy. I would feel good about him not being a Patriots guy.
Do you think Vrabel at least has a higher floor than all those other guys?
Yes.
So there's
definitely that.
Maybe part of me is just be like, I don't want to watch another 4-win team.
You don't want to strike out.
Yeah.
A single's okay.
Yeah. I think you'd for sure get that with Vrabel.
Yeah.
Maybe higher. Let's see what he does with a good quarterback.
Glenn's a bigger swing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Annie's in Somerville. Go ahead, Annie.
Hey, guys. Great conversation.
It is.
So all you need to do is look at Detroit, as was just mentioned with Glenn. Look at the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coach, that brain trust, that sideline brain trust, working, you know, incredibly, but it took a couple of years for Dan Campbell to pull that together. And, you know, Gerard Mayo did not get the time to do anything. However, you know, Robert Kraft seems to be really emotional. I don't know if he's losing his strategic acumen. I agree with you both. I think loyalty over strategy is never a recipe for success. And I just feel like there needs to be authority either at the quarterback or the coach. If they had a veteran quarterback in there, at least, it would have been, you know, different. But you can't have a rookie coach and the rookie quarterback at the same time.
Annie, they had a veteran quarterback to start the year, and it was a terrible one.
It was worse.
That I don't expect to get a lot of those today, but that's a different perspective. That Mayo didn't get a lot of time or enough time. I haven't heard much of that. I don't think many people agree with Annie.
There weren't enough flashes where you're like, oh, that looks good. And the other thing,
there's an argument to be made. They shouldn't even have given him. You've made it.
Yeah.
They gave him too many games. They shouldn't have given him yesterday.
No, they definitely should have. I think they're going to regret that. But I also feel like, I don't know if she went all the way down this as far as more time, like, because on the call screen that said, you know, bring in his own staff. And I just, what's his dream team of a staff? I think Covington was his guy.
Yeah.
They'd worked together. He knows him. So he promotes him.
Van Pelt was a Wolf guy. Springer told us on Friday.
Yeah.
Springer's a Wolf guy. Yeah, he bumped into each other at a pro day. So,
but like, who would Mayo have picked his offensive guy? Nick Cayley.
Well, maybe Nick Cayley, maybe Zach Robinson as well in Atlanta.
All right, and Zach Robinson has a closer relationship with Raheem Morris, and that's why he went to Atlanta. So you weren't going to get him. So it's not like he has this Rolodex of guys that he could bring in. So even if right now you said to Gerard Mayo, you're back, what's the rest of your staff look like? Well, keep coming.
Run it back.
Yeah, right. Like that's my problem. Is like I have a hard time coming up with excuses. I think the best excuse Mayo has is that Elliot Wolf was also bad at his job, so he didn't have a lot of great players to coach. Like he doesn't have a good roster.
No,
and you could also then point at Kraft and be like, how come he didn't spend money on this team?
It's amazing. So Mayo was going, because you know Mayo was trying to stab Wolf in the back the whole time. And
yeah,
Wolf,
oh, you got to go down swinging at
Wolf
least.
Absolutely stabbed Mayo in the back. And so Mayo's going to the Crafts and going, I don't have any players. And Wolf's going
He's
to the Crafts.
Coaching him up.
Wolf's going to the Crafts and going, he has players. He just didn't do anything to
we
develop
them. We got 53
them.
Of them. He's just not coaching them.
Jalen Polk is a plug and play.
Yeah.
And for some reason.
See, I looked at that more as actually a shot at Polk. Wolf's comments, and less so coaching him up.
Okay, you think that's a shot at Polk?
Yeah, I think he's like, we saw him, we thought we could plug and play him. And early in the season, they did try to play him, and he sucked.
They tried.
So they had to take him out.
It's true. I mean, ultimately, I do think Wolf is better at his job than Mayo, but it's not by much.
Like, barely.
So if I had to keep one, I'd keep Wolf, but the answer is you keep none and you blow everybody
out. You don't have to. Nobody's making you keep any of
them. You definitely don't have to. And I'll be curious to hear Robert Kraft's explanation on that.
Yeah.
If he can verbalize it, and he just said this, like, is he losing some of his acumen? You're going to hear live. Let's see if he can clearly state why Elliott Wolf is staying, or if he even makes it pretty clear that Wolf is here, but not for the long.
I am probably more interested in this press conference than almost any I can think of.
Yeah.
Well, in a long time.
Kraft is real shaky at the Mayo intro. He was real shaky at the farewell to Bill after he did the little stand up and
hug
with Bill.
Jonathan's there.
Jonathan will be present.
Do you think they both answer questions?
No. No. I think just Robert will answer questions. That's just a guess.
Okay. We'll see.
Landon is in Colorado. Go ahead, Landon.
Hey, guys. I heard this name get tossed around after Bill Belichick ended up parting ways with us, and now I'm starting to hear it again. What do you guys think about Cliff Kingsbury?
I like him.
That's your guy.
I like him. He was my top choice for offensive coordinator last year. They didn't even interview him. They interviewed 13 guys, and he wasn't one of them. And then he went to Washington, where he got the quarterback to be Rookie of the Year. I think he's a really good offensive mind. People could be like, oh, he sucked as a head coach in Arizona. Maybe a little strong. He did make the playoffs with Kyler Murray. That was a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. I think it was year two that they made the playoffs, not year one. But still, like, they gotten better, I think, each of their first 3 years. If he's just in charge of offense, I think he can do it.
Okay, to me, he feels like a coordinator. And maybe that's not fair because a lot of these guys have more success second go around. Bill Belichick is one of those guys.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not fair. He feels to me like a coordinator where if he's just running your offense and calling your plays, and I know you're saying he would do that, but you're the head coach. You have a lot of other responsibilities. You have to get guys to buy in. You have to be the leader of the whole organization, top to bottom, front facing. Like, he doesn't have to do any of that as a coordinator.
He's a snappy dresser, though.
He is a very snappy dresser.
He's handsome.
That's all true.
Former player.
Rocket for an arm. I don't want Cliff Kingsbury.
He was also like bad college coach too. He was a bad college coach.
Leave
a bad
it alone.
NFL
Leave
coach.
It alone, Nick. Dude, we're like, oh, let's go to Nick for some Cliff Kingsbury facts. Nobody asked
you. He's not a good college coach either. He hasn't been a good head coach anywhere he's been.
But how about those offenses? How about those quarterbacks? He helped Johnny Manziel.
Offenses ranked in like the 20s.
He
like
helped a lot of guys win some Heismans. Ever hear the Heisman?
Real nice offense.
He can spin it.
Marshall is in Columbus, Ohio. Go ahead, Marshall.
Wow, real national show today.
All over the country. Go ahead, Marshall.
Well, I grew up on Cape Cod, so...
Nice.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Really I've never really called in the show, but I kind of feel that we shouldn't fault the players for wanting to play well. I mean, Joe Milton played really well. You know, that backward somersault, that was just so impressive.
It was very impressive. We're going to get to Joe Milton coming up.
Call back anytime.
What you do with him is going to be interesting on some level. We'll get to Joe Milton in his day.
By the way, I don't blame the players. We haven't played the players once.
No.
Of course they're going to try to win. They're not going to be here next year. They don't want to like miss tackles on tape or fumble on tape. They want to play hard.
I blame the whole operation going into the game yesterday, and that includes Mayo. You should be trying to lose that game. Yeah. And orchestrate it how you can.
Meaning
scheme and everything. I feel like we shouldn't even have to say this.
No.
No one blames the players for trying hard once they're out there. But you got to orchestrate it how you can. And teams do it all the time, including the Bills yesterday.
The
they
Buffalo
were better
Bills,
at it than you.
They're laughing right now. They're like, yeah, we'll let you win just so you don't get the first pick. We'll take that.
617-779-7937. Phone calls from all over the country.
Yeah.
Some better than others.
Well.
Here on Jones and Keefe, you're going to hear Robert Kraft live at 1 o'clock on WEEI. He'll try and explain the decision to hire Jerod Mayo, fire Jerod Mayo, who's replacing Jerod Mayo. What's going on with Elliott Wolf? All that here today on WEEI. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we'll take a quick spin around the NFL Week 18 and what happened next.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
Oh, Doctor, Week 18, Jones. Regular season is in the books. We're not going to do all the games because there were a lot of games that didn't matter. In fact, a lot of teams with nothing to play for, and they proved it. Some of those games, holy mackerel.
It was an embarrassing, we said this a bunch today, an embarrassing Patriots-Bills game, but the whole league should be embarrassed. It's part of the problem with a 17-game schedule.
It felt worse this year than normal years. Because I know most years you're like, oh, teams locked, they're either eliminated or they've already clinched. And it's why for years and years and years, if you do year-long fantasy football, you never play the final week of the season because guys are resting or whatever. But this year felt worse.
Well, it started on Saturday with the Browns. Yeah. It continued yesterday with pretty much everybody but the Patriots, although the Patriots tried all the way through that Chiefs game. Embarrassing, embarrassing day, embarrassing week for the NFL.
Speaking of the Browns, Jones, former Patriot great Bailey Zappi got the start for the Browns on Saturday against the Ravens.
What happened?
Zappi looks... Oh, he threw a pick! Threw it right into the hands of Nate Wiggins, and the rookie walks in for an early pick six.
Yeah, not a great start for Bailey Zappi or great game for Bailey Zappi as the Baltimore Ravens dominate. And with that win, though, that did matter for the Ravens. It was on Saturday. That win clinched the AFC North for the Baltimore Ravens second year in a row. They will be the 3 seed in the wild card round coming up this weekend.
Lamar's your MVP?
Lamar is my MVP. 41 passing touchdowns.
Lamar should get credit for playing in the game.
Yeah.
And playing the whole game.
Sure.
Or at least until the very tail end.
Did he take one snap like Josh Allen, your guy?
Josh Allen's one snap should be held against. That was pathetic. I think how the Patriots handled it yesterday was pathetic. That was pathetic for Josh Allen.
That was like when, I think it was it Nikisha Sales? Who was the UConn basketball player?
Oh, with like the torn ACL.
That was like hurt and was like 2 points shy of the record. And they were like, put her out in a walking boot and let her score. And then they had the other team score. And like, we're starting now.
Embarrassing.
Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, so I would still lean Josh Allen, but that should be held against him.
That was a rough scene.
Yeah.
He technically lost to the Patriots.
He did.
He takes the start.
Take that L.
Takes the L.
Hold that L.
Also in the AFC North, it was the Bengals and the Steelers.
What happened?
Bengals needed a win to keep their playoff hopes alive on Saturday.
First career start for Trice. That's Chase, and what a start for Cincinnati.
Yeah, that looked pretty easy. It ended up being a game. It looked like they were going to just march up and down the field on them. And maybe a bigger surprise, to this point, the Cincinnati Bengals are keeping Zachary Taylor, although they did fire their defensive coordinator. They won the game, but they were subsequently eliminated.
Lou Anarumo, how do you say his name?
Yeah,
he's out.
Yep,
he's gone. I think it's good the Bengals are out of the playoffs. Good for the Patriots. It's bad for the league. Like, you want the Bengals in. They're a fun team. It'd be better to watch them than a team like the Broncos, who I know we'll get to, and they're mm-hmm. not bad to watch.
Mm-mm.
But if you're hoping T. Higgins shakes free, isn't it more likely he shakes free in Cincinnati now that they missed the playoffs as opposed to going on like some kind of run?
Yeah, because how could you justify, hey, we're bringing everybody back? It's like, well, you guys missed the playoffs.
Also, you lost to the Patriots week one. You do not deserve to go to the postseason.
I blame them as much as anything else, because if the Bengals win week one, they're in the playoffs, and the Patriots have the number one pick.
Good point.
What a devastating. Everybody's talking about the Bengals side of it. It's like, no, the Patriots are the number one pick in the draft. If Cincinnati could just beat New England week one with Jacoby Brissett as quarterback. That was gross. By the way, Ja'Marr Chase does finish the year with the wide receiver triple crown.
Nice.
First most catches.
Cooper Kupp, I think.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp. Catches, yards, and touchdowns, joining Cooper Kupp, Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, and Steve Smith. I think it's only happened 5 times.
Good for him.
Pretty
nice,
legit.
Nice play. You don't need T. Higgins, Cincinnati. You don't need him.
You got Ja'Marr Chase. You're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase quite a bit, though.
A lot.
Quite a bit. All right, what about the Denver Broncos needing a win to clinch a wild card spot? Well, they took on the second and third stringers of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here's over to Mims. Touchdown.
In front. Mims, you got it, Tony. Touchdown, Broncos.
Bo Nix.
Nice day.
Going to the playoffs. Bo Nix, people said Bo Nix. I was told once, it was last year after the draft, I said Bo Nix is going to be a good quarterback.
Yep.
Somebody told me that it was my worst take of all time. Well, in the history of your takes, they said you're going to look back at that one and say it's the worst one ever.
I did not say that, but.
You didn't like him.
I didn't like him.
Guy's a winner.
I dubbed him Bo Picks. He's in the playoffs in year one.
I believe.
And I think they're onto something there in Denver. I hate the way the Chiefs handled that game, too.
They didn't play anybody.
Like, what?
Just laid down and died.
You need 2 weeks off?
Apparently.
You need weeks 18, apparently. Your 17th game.
That's right.
And the bye week?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that by Kansas City.
All right, so this is what it looks like in the AFC. The Chiefs have the bye. They will have 2 weeks off, as you said. The 4-5 matchup is Texans-Chargers.
Give me L.A.
I'll take L.A. as well. 3-6 division matchup, Ravens-Steelers.
I'm not sleeping on Pittsburgh in that game.
That game is going to be on Prime Video, so people will be all pissed off because I think it's only on Prime for Lamar versus the Steelers. Then the 2-7, Buffalo Bills and Denver Broncos. A couple of cold weather teams. Is there bad karma for Josh Allen having a starting streak?
I'm taking Buffalo, but I might. I don't know what the line is. So I might want the
nine.
I might want the Broncos with the points in that, but I'm taking Buffalo.
Early look at it here: Buffalo favored by 9, the Ravens favored by 9.5, and the Chargers favored by 2.5.
Wow, the Ravens are bigger favorites than the Bills.
The Ravens are, yeah.
Wow, I would mostly because of Lamar's track record in the playoffs. I would not sleep on Pittsburgh. I know they've been playing terribly.
Yeah,
that's more of a hedge against Lamar than anything.
It is funny though that between the Chargers and the Texans, like someone's winning a playoff game this year.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh doing a nice job there. All right. In the NFC, the Tampa Bay Bucks needed the win to clinch the NFC South. They were also going for history with one Mike Evans.
What happened?
Mayfield throwing Evans.
So this sort of adds to the whole element. So you have teams not playing guys. Then you have guys going for incentives and going for records. Like around the league, Terry McLaurin scored a late touchdown just so he could have the franchise record. James Cook did it against the Patriots. They put him back in to score a touchdown.
That also, the Commanders one mattered, not just for the record. If they won, they moved from the 7th seed to the 6th seed. I don't know if you care about that, but like that at least had a meaning in the outcome of the game. This Mike Evans catch had nothing to do with anything, and the celebration was embarrassing.
Oh, my God. It was incredible.
They celebrated like they won, maybe not a Super Bowl, but like they won like a division or something like that.
If I get the scenario right.
Well, they did win the division.
They did win the division.
Good point, but that's not why.
It was the last play
well
of the game.
Well said, Nick.
I know, but they already had the game won. They had already won it. They could go take a knee. They were just getting him a record with the game over.
So this is what was interesting about it. If I have my details right, they were up by 8 points with the ball. The Saints had one timeout left, and there was under 30 seconds to go, and I believe it was first down.
Yeah.
So they couldn't need the game
out. That's what I just said, yeah.
No. But I'm just painting the picture for everybody else that didn't see it. So you're up by 8. So it's one score.
Yeah.
So Baker Mayfield drops back to throw like an out route to Evans.
They could have lost.
If that's a Bailey Zappe out route, it's a pick 6. They
Good
go
point.
For 2 and you're going to overtime.
Good point.
I like records and I like Mike Evans, but like that was not really the time to do it.
I also like Mike Evans. You had 59 minutes and 30 seconds while you mostly toyed around and almost lost to the Saints.
Yeah.
Which would have been embarrassing.
They did.
So you had all game to do it. And you when the game's decided and the Saints probably thought you were taking a knee, you go get Evans the record and then celebrate like that. Get your record, go quietly. It'll live on forever. 11 straight years
amazing.
Of 1,000 yards.
11 years, 1,000 yards.
That, the celebration is what I really didn't like.
Adam Schefter was bold enough to retweet that and say, Hall of Famer.
You think?
I would think
Mike Evans, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
However many times over, Pro Bowler, 11 straight years with 1,000 yards, he's probably in the Hall
of Fame. I think he might get
in. I'd say safely, yeah.
105 touchdowns, too. He had another monster year.
Nice.
People are wondering how he's going to be next year. And all for one team as well. All right, then the nightcap, a game that actually did matter. Two great teams, two teams that are already assured a playoff spot, but one would be the number one seed in the NFC and have home field advantage and a first round bye. The other would drop down to the 5th seed. That'd be Vikings and Lions.
What happened?
First and goal. Side run for Gibbs, still going to the goal line. Number 4 on the night. A night to remember. Crown that guy. Ties the Lions record for touchdowns in a game.
Jahmyr Gibbs, Sonic of the Sonic and Knuckles. Knuckles on the, he's out injured, but Sonic killing it.
Apparently he doesn't need Knuckles. They don't need Knuckles. He might come back, by the way. Do you see
Knuckles
that? If they played in the postseason next week, he was warming up on the field before the game.
Holy mackerel.
So he could play in the postseason. Lions get the bye. Good. I want a Lions-Bills Super Bowl. That's what I want. So good. I wanted them to get the bye week. I wanted them to win.
You're going to get Chiefs-Eagles again.
Also, by the way, if you get the Vikings to lose in round one, maybe those Kevin O'Connell calls about him being your coach.
Ooh.
Maybe there's more to it because he's going into the final year of his job as a lame duck.
How about this? On the text line, Keith, that was me that
I was
said
just bring
about
this up.
Your Knicks take.
Yeah.
He's like, I texted you and Fitzy at night. I was waiting till after the season to call and apologize. Not your worst take, but I do still think he is trash. Fair enough.
Well, you know what?
Fair enough.
Just like Robert Kraft, it takes a big man to admit you're wrong. Thank you, text
line.
That's
very kind. The NFC playoff picture now with Detroit as the one seed. The 4-5 matchup, Rams and Vikings.
I will take the Rams. The Rams there for sure. They're at home.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, I don't know what the line is.
Minnesota favored by 1.5.
I take the Rams.
Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell.
Plus money on the money line. Rams, great.
Sam Darnold, everybody's like singing the praises of Sam Darnold, and then he was real bad last night.
That was rough.
That was Sam Darnold. That's really what Sam Darnold is.
We've been wondering where Sam Darnold was all year. Yep. There he was, yeah.
The 3-6 matchup, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa, but
I got Baker Mayfield.
That should be a good game.
Yeah, that should be. Bucks by 3 is the line. And then the 2-7 is Eagles-Packers.
Yeah, I think the Packers have no chance in that game.
Packers probably don't. It's 5.5. So all the games in the NFC, at least based on Vegas, expect to be a lot closer than the AFC.
The Packers all year, including their opener in Brazil against Philly, right? This is the opener.
Yeah, they play on Friday night.
They lose pretty much all these important games.
Pretty much.
Any of the real good teams they play, they pretty much lose them. So I have no faith in the Packers in that game.
Yep, that stands corrected.
A few more texts. 617-779-7937. I didn't say this. Maybe you did, Keith. We should have pointed it out. Evans also got incentives when he hit the over 85 in that game.
Okay.
It didn't just get him 1,000 yards. It also gave him the incentive. So he's celebrating $3 million. Still, keep it to yourself.
I think he's celebrating the record more than the money.
But that's easy for me to say. Yeah, I tend to think so too, actually. But yeah, who knows? And then this is also a good point. I was criticizing Kansas City for their approach. Did they lay down to keep the Bengals out of the postseason? Probably. Like, if there's any team you're afraid of, it's probably Burrow and the Bengals. They've beaten you before. Fair. I still would start Mahomes in the game and at least like pretend to treat it like a real game.
No, just to
knock off any potential rust there.
2 weeks. No, this is sort of the old Indianapolis Colts thing. They would sit Peyton Manning even when they had a bye, and then he would come out and lose to Phillip Rivers.
Didn't work.
Lose every time to the Chargers.
Early Patriots, then the Chargers. Yeah, it's true. Didn't really ever work.
No.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts from around the league. Pathetic, pathetic weekend for the league. People celebrating their incentives like they won the Super Bowl. Teams laying down. The Patriots, right at the top of the list are the Patriots, although one guy had a very good day. Joe Milton.
Whew. What a player.
What is his NFL future? I'm now actually legitimately curious about this. Right alongside Mike Evans, he's riding in, Keith. We'll get to Joe Milton along with all your other Patriots phone calls. Mayo out. Vrabel maybe in. Elliot Wolf keeping his job. And Robert Kraft talking at 1 o'clock. You're here at Live. You're on WEEI.
At what point did you find out that you were going to play today? And what do you think you proved today?
After the kickoff, they was like, hey, you going in next series? And I was like, all right, bet. Let's do it. And what was your last question?
What do you think you proved?
I don't think I proved anything to nobody. I think I proved it to myself, like it's always been. Just showing that I'm able to be here, able to play this game, and just showing myself that, you know, it's me. And without God, I am nothing. So, therefore, I put everything in Him.
Shout out God, Joe Milton.
Oh, yeah.
Good game from Joe Milton yesterday. He did say he found out after kickoff he was going in on the next series. So while Drake May was out there, they're like, hey, by the way, you're getting the next series.
Yeah, that checks out. Why tell him that earlier in the week so he can prepare for it? Let's have as little communication as we can all the way to the bitter end. Like, how do you not have a play? Do you think Mitch Trubisky or Mike White were shocked when they played?
No.
No, probably not. They probably told them all week long what they were doing.
This does speak to, I think it was a plan. They just didn't tell Joe Milton, if we believe Joe Milton, and take him at his word.
You don't need to keep it a secret from Joe Milton. That does no good. What's the point of that? Now, good for him. He went out there and played well.
It doesn't leak, I guess, although I think it effectively leaked. People were talking about it all last week. Reese led his Sunday notes with, could we see Joe Milton? Which to me meant, we're going to see Joe Milton.
Well, yeah, and like they made him available to the media last week, too, which like they hadn't all year. So like, I think we knew he was going to play, but the fact that he didn't even know what series he was going to play is more the point. Like, I'm sure he thought, all right, this week is different. He can kind of read the room and realize that he's probably going to play. He's very likable. We said this during camp, like the few times we would hear from him, the times you'd see him play. Like, he had his highs and lows, like most, you know, especially sixth-round picks would have. Remember, like, his first preseason game? We're like, I love this guy. Then you see him again. You're like, well,
I might have jumped the gun there.
Maybe that's why he fell in the draft. But he has the best arm. He has one of the best arms probably in the league. He can run a little bit. He's got, you know, he's got some charisma to him. He's doing the backflips and all that stuff. Now, he was doing it against the freshman team equivalent of the Buffalo Bills.
It was a team trying to lose. It was a team's backups trying to lose a game.
Now, he's also doing it with, you know, Laden Robinson and, you know, Deontay Jacobs blocking for him and Pop Douglas catching passes for him and Antonio Gibson dropping handoffs. So, like, he also – he's working with a non-real NFL team as well.
Yep.
So, I – because – so when he went in, we're thinking, great, you see him – whatever happens, happens. He'll probably turn it over. He'll make a couple plays. He'll lose the game, right?
I definitely thought we were seeing picks, yeah.
Didn't happen.
No.
And he wins the game. And that's why, like, you and I don't blame him at all. We had a caller earlier. It's like, I don't blame the players. Neither do we. Joe Milton makes his NFL debut. You think he wants to turn it over just so he can get a number one pick? Hell no.
No.
He wants to go out there and show what he can do. You know, maybe next year there's a scenario where they feel confident enough that just Drake May and Joe Milton are the only quarterbacks on the roster. And then you go with that.
So somebody apologized to you on the text line earlier about your Bo Nix take.
Yeah, apology accepted.
Maybe it wasn't your worst take ever. They still don't like it, yes. But maybe it wasn't your worst take ever.
Fine.
I want to yell at, I think it was Dubs985, if I have it wrong, in the Twitch chat. They said, "What Jones, you want to see Joe Milton? What are you going to learn about Joe Milton?"
We learned a lot.
I think we learned a little bit of something.
He's nice.
And so... what is Joe Milton's NFL future? I don't think teams are lining up to trade for him. I don't believe that. Although I wouldn't rule it out 2 years down the line. I heard Hart and Fitzy last night when I was driving around. It just, he's now your backup quarterback. And you feel pretty good about him as your backup quarterback. They don't need to go spend another $8 million on a Jacoby Brissett type and bring in a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
It's Drake May. It's Joe Milton. I'd probably draft another developmental quarterback in the sixth or seventh round and keep going. But he showed enough that, to me, he's your backup next year. You learned something.
Yeah, no, I think so. And also, huge credit to Alex Van Pelt.
Huge.
Like, massive. We saw what this guy looked like in camp, and you're like what a project he is. So what's it going to look like, regardless of, you know, the level of competition on the other side? How professional is it going to be? Turns out real professional. His linemen tried to get in the way a million times, or I guess also not get in the way a million times. They couldn't figure out, you know, which end was up.
They were bad at getting in the way.
But he played well. Like, he went out there and played really well. And so Alex Van Pelt, we talked so much about, you know, Drake May's development, but also he's got this guy, probably very limited snaps, got him prepared for a game, and for it to look that way, nobody else is going to get that credit other than Van Pelt.
Huge, huge, huge feather in the cap. That Milton came out and looked so perfect, even against backups.
Yeah,
who were trying to lose.
Because guess what? He's a backup.
That Milton came out and wowed all of us is a huge credit to Van Pelt. It goes without saying. I think we'd all take him back as either the offensive coordinator in title only under a guy like Ben Johnson, or demote him to quarterback's coach and bring in another play caller under somebody like Mike Vrabel. I think we'd all like him back. I don't know that he would take that job.
Yeah, so I don't know either. I don't think he would do it here.
I would love him in that role here.
He's the one guy in the entire staff that would get hired tomorrow. Now, it would be a demotion.
Not as an offensive coordinator.
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be as
not as a play caller.
But, like, how many teams would want him as a QB coach? The question is, like, does he want to still be a QB coach? Like, do you want to be a coordinator for a handful of years and then go back to being a QB? But if he wants to be in the league, he'll be in the league. And if everybody that was either new to the team or... in an elevated role, just talking about executives and coaches, I mean, he was far and away the best. And that was even before we saw what Joe Milton did on Sunday.
No, it's true. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. Hello, David.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the call. So here's my whole theory on this. So I believe Gerard Mayo, two things happened here, Gerard Mayo and Buffalo Bills. Number one, Gerard Mayo, he knew he was going to get canned, and he purposely put a game plan in place that it would be almost impossible to lose against third stringers, which in Buffalo, at the same time, played the game to lose because they wanted to stick it to New England because we've stuck it to them for so many years. Now, in business, when you want to tank something, obviously, you're not going to talk about it. You're not going to show there's ways to do it like was done yesterday. Mm. And I think that was Gerard Mayo of giving it back to the craft.
Okay, so he had a perfect game plan to lose.
Hold on. You're giving Mayo too much credit. Like, all of a sudden he can craft a plan to win.
Yeah.
He should have done that much earlier.
Yeah.
He should have done that week 2 through 17.
Yeah, I would have leaned into that quicker.
I would have cooked up a few more wins.
Me too.
No, but there is a difference where, all right, you're playing, you know, your JV team versus their JV team. And then... how do you go about it with just certain calls, right? It's not like he masterminded this great plan all week. It's just, all right, do we kick it here? Or like, maybe go for it on 4th and 6. Or maybe, you know, that kind of thing.
One thing I agree with him on is that Mayo knew he was getting fired going into that game and coached it out of spite.
So how do you think it really worked? Meaning, hey, Mayo, you're done after this game? Or like, hey, come talk to the, go to the principal's office
something
as soon as the game's over?
More like that.
Or like, hey, I'm back next year. Like, I wonder how.
Something like that. Okay. Where he all of a sudden was like, I'm not back. And he I don't think they outright told him. I don't think. Maybe they did. I mean, Schefter got the go-ahead. Reese got the go-ahead to the code red on Friday.
Yeah.
So.
It's something.
I don't think he was outright told. Yeah. But I think he knew. And
I think he knew.
The decision absolutely was made before the game. The statement was ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And that's why it's Kraft's fault that they don't have the number one pick. You find a way to manipulate it. You move on from Mayo the game before because you certainly can't trust him in that situation. Be like, hey, we really need the number one pick, and we need you to take another loss. He's like, no thanks. And so you have somebody else do it. You like when Jim Irsay brought in Jeff Saturday to be the coach, like you can find a guy to coach. Maybe there's somebody on the staff. You're interim for the day. You know, we need to go out there, try not to make it too obvious, but lose. Like the Browns, like the Titans, like the Giants, like the Bills. So it's not like it's unheard of. We saw it a million times, including once in the stadium.
Yeah. No, we saw it for sure.
When Tyler Bass missed the extra point, I got such a sick feeling in my stomach.
That was bad. I was like,
that was it.
That's a big missed extra point.
Because you're like, crap. Now, like, they have to kick a field goal when they're down by two. Otherwise, it'd be kind of obvious. Then Joey Sly's just, like, drilling kicks.
Making everything. Ugh. Him and Chad, there's something about these kickers when it's all over where they're just making every kick imaginable just to
figure it out.
Screw their draft positioning. 617-779-7937. You could jump in there. It's the same number as the text line. We've been discussing this all day long. Robert Kraft scheduled to speak at 1 o'clock, answering questions about why he fired Jerod Mayo. You'll hear that live here on WEEI from Gillette Stadium. Meanwhile, Jerod Mayo, right call to fire him? Certainly seems that way. Mike Vrabel, the right guy to replace him. We'll get back into that. Elliot Wolf sounds like he's going to keep his job, and the Patriots screwed up the number one pick. We've been talking about all those all day long. We'll get back into Jerod Mayo and whether or not you can believe the Krafts actually went through with it and did the right thing as it relates to firing him. We'll do that next.